You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
The summer is heating up. Have your next backyard celebration with TNT Fireworks. For the best selection of our classic fan favorites and new items, you need to buy early. TNT Firework locations are opening soon. Also, enter to win our $10,000 sweepstakes on our website, TNTFireworks.com. Have safe family fun with TNT Fireworks.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org. CEI Bookstore and Truth Publications have been serving you and your family since 1955. With their wide selection of Christian books, Bibles, gifts, and more, there is something there for everyone. Did you know that they ship thousands of packages a month all over the United States and the world? Stop by their storefront in Athens, Alabama, or shop their wide selection anytime at truthbooks.com. Be sure to use promo code MARKWHITE at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. That's promo code MARKWHITE at truthbooks.com for 15% off.
For all your strawberry needs, I suggest J. Calvert Farm. Located 3 miles south of Dodge City on Highway 69, exit 299 off Interstate 65. J. Calvert Farm currently has
strawberries.
Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farm in Dodge City, Alabama.
J. Calvert Farm. Strawberries. Let's go, Daddy.
Hey, everybody. This is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey, y'all. This is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I am glad that you can be with us today. As we recognize difference makers, we share stories to encourage and inspire us all to make a difference where we can. I hope that each and every time you tune in, you are focused on finding an opportunity, a way to make a difference in the lives of those that we talk to. Right now, I'm coming to you from Russellville, Alabama, with the Roz family, and Elijah reached out to me about a fundraiser that he had organized for his family to try to help in some very difficult circumstances. As most of you know, I was a former police officer, even a police officer here in Russellville, Alabama. It's not unfamiliar to me when it comes to domestic violence. Those situations, I had to respond to calls where domestic violence was incorporated into the situation. And unfortunately, there was very little, a lot of times, I could do to help families in those circumstances. I could encourage people to do certain things, but that didn't necessarily mean they were going to do it. In this particular situation, I'm sitting in a home where an individual took advantage of the situation, and you as a listener now can help this family as they try to move forward to have as normal a life as possible. And that's what we hope to be able to accomplish today here on The Mark White Show. Right now, I would like to introduce to the show Esther Roz. welcome to the Mark White Show.
Thank you.
I appreciate Elijah, and I appreciate him taking time to message me and let me know about the situation, because a lot of times in these situations, people want to stay silent. They don't want to say anything about what happened. It can be embarrassing. It can be difficult to share personal experiences like this, but Elijah has stepped up to the plate, really acted like a grown man in this situation, and said, we need some help.
Yes, yes. I am so thankful for his leadership, for his brothers and sisters as well. He's been a great example, and he's a strength to our family, and he's really kind of pulled it together and helped us get through a really, really, really hard time.
How many children are in the home? Not counting this young man, Elijah, but you have younger children here too.
Yes, other than Elijah, I have four. I have Isaiah, who is going to be 12 very soon. I have Lydia, who is going to be 11. And then I have sweet Sammy, who is going to be 10. And Sammy has Down syndrome. And then I also have sweet Silas, who is going to be 7. And Silas also has Down syndrome. So we have a full, loud, happy house.
Another subject that I've covered quite a bit is Down syndrome, and had young people who have represented the Down syndrome community in an excellent way, as they show the jobs that they have, the jobs that they create, the businesses that they own, whether it's Blake Snow Shack or Sweet Jordan's up in Tennessee or John's Crazy Socks up in Long Island, New York. We have a lot of these young people who are really making an impact. We already like Sam here at the Mark White Show. He's our new buddy.
Absolutely. I tell you, they are a bright light in our lives. We are very, very thankful that we have them.
He tried to make me leave when I pulled into the driveway. And then he finally said, no, you can stay. So I appreciate Sam letting me stay and get to talk to your family today to find out how we can help.
Thank you, Sammy, for trying to protect us.
So did you know about the fundraiser that Elijah started?
He had discussed it with me earlier. And then I didn't really want to have much input. You know, I'm still kind of just dealing with it. And so it's not something that I lived it. We've all lived it here in the home. So I was actually pretty anxious about him writing it, and he had some questions, and I said, son, I'm not really sure if I want to read it yet. So he kind of put it together, and then he said, Mom, we really need this, because you know, we're just kind of at the end of our lifeline right now. And when I read it, I was very moved. It was, you know, Elijah has lived it alongside of us, but to get his perspective was really touching. And I guess it, you know, it kind of reminded me of what a taboo subject it is. And, you know, for Elijah to be in 10th grade and, you know, he just got Facebook, and, you know, to put our story out there, it's very, for him, I would say, I'm going to use the word embarrassing, Elijah, because I know, you know, you had mentioned, Mom, I wonder how people are going to react to this. And, you know, do you think anybody's even going to talk to me after this? And I said, you know, Elijah, you have to remember, this is our story. We're part of it. But this is something that happened to us. And so I don't think people are going to judge you, you know, once they kind of understand what's been going on.
I reacted to it, Elijah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing.
So good can come out of it. And if there are people who are naysayers or people who are negative about it, you just have to ignore that, because there are more people who will be positive and try to want to help and make a difference than those who won't. And that's something that I've learned over the past 5 years of having this show, is that you do have to look for the difference makers. And when you pull them together and you give an opportunity for them to make a difference, you really can have huge success with the right people. And so we've had a lot of different fundraisers and efforts that we've promoted through this show and been very successful, because we have people who are not the negative people, but they're the people who say, hey, I'm ready, willing, and able to make a difference. And I think you found the right person, because I'm sitting here right now in Russellville, Alabama, at your table talking to you about this fundraising effort. So, Elijah, when you decided that it was time to share this story, to go out on a limb, so to speak, and do this fundraiser, what did it take for you to decide, beyond talking with your mom, that this was something that was necessary for your family?
I think it was just, I had enough. You know, it's one thing to pretty much tear a house, you know, down to the 2x4s, but seeing how hard it was on my mom again, you know, he never was violent towards us. He was rude. He was mean, but not physical, you know. But with my mom, it was a different story. So I think I just had enough. It, you know, we're living this, and he's gone off a lot before, but I think the last time, it just felt like I had to do something about it. Because if I just sat there praying, hoping he would go away, it might not ever happen. I had to just kind of close my eyes and just go into it blindly and hope for the best.
So Elijah, your family, just to give listeners an idea, your family had left the state that you were in previously.
Yes, sir.
Moved from Utah to Alabama because you all wanted to get away from a domestic violence situation in Utah.
A fresh start.
How did you find Alabama? How did that come on the radar?
My uncle, my mom's brother, he lives in, I think it's Haleyville, like by Haleyville. And so we moved here because there wasn't anywhere else for us to really go. She just started looking for houses around here and in the area and in Mississippi, I think. And she found Russellville, Alabama, and she found this house.
As I said, Elijah, I was a police officer in this town for about a year, and I'm very familiar with the community. It's a good community. And what I'm hoping is through this story, through what you share, that people in this community realize that your family came here to have that fresh start, and that this is an opportunity for them to help you all move forward, as hard as it is for you to share the story. It takes courage and it takes bravery to do it. But once you do it, then I think you start to see that what I shared with you is there's more people wanting to help and make a difference than not. I don't know what your experience has been at school. I don't know about those circumstances. I can imagine, because I was a young man who, my granddad was a preacher and we changed schools. I moved to new cities and it's not easy. Trying to make new friends and almost trying to reinvent yourself every single time in hopes that's the person that everybody will like.
Yeah.
You get that new chance, and it's like every single time it doesn't work out exactly like you hoped it would. And I've been there, so I know when I've gone from school to school, it's like, well, I can, maybe this time everybody will like me. Everybody will get along with me and want to be around Mark. And I know that's not always the way it works.
Mm-mm. It's not.
So not only difficulties in the home, but you can have difficulties at school, and that's a lot for a human being to take on, let alone someone who's 16 years old, and your life, as people say, is ahead of you, and it will get better. It does get better. I'm sitting here talking to you because it did get better. Not that it ever makes it any easier for you while you're in the situation, but as time goes on, people gain a level of maturity, and those who may be the naysayers or those who are negative, they change their attitude because they start to have some life experiences that are hard, and then they start to understand some of us who had life experiences very early that were hard, and they're like, oh, I did not realize that life could be that hard. And when the challenges finally hit them, they have a new understanding. For some people, it takes, say, the loss of a baby or a rare disease or an example like Down syndrome, where they finally realize that there are things that maybe they were very superficial about and they weren't as caring and compassionate and as kind as they should have been. But I'm going to say right now, this is an opportunity for all the community listening, all the young people that are part of the school system, to step up and say, you know what? Elijah needs our help right now. His family needs our help right now. And we're going to find a way to do it. Is that encouraging to you to think about that?
It is. But I guess it's also scary to think about, because it's still really hard to share it. It is embarrassing. I'm not going to lie. I shared it like right as school got out, because it was just time. But I don't think I would have been able to share it during school, because I know all eyes would have been at me, and it's Russellville High School is pretty big. Mm-hmm. And it would have been really hard knowing that everyone knows my story, my personal life. I feel like that would have been really hard, just have to deal with it face on. But I think that I can do it now.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong do you feel right now? If you're thinking about being a victim in a situation where you had no control over, and now you're a little bit removed from it, and now you've started a fundraiser to try to help your family, how do you feel as far as your strength goes?
6.5.
So you're getting there. 6.5, 7. That's over 5.
That's over 5.
That's over 50%. There's a good chance of rain at 65. Yep. So I would trust the weatherman at 65% rain. So you're getting there. Mm-hmm. We want that 70, 80, 90%. And then you'd 100% confidence in what you're doing to help your family. Because I've sat at tables like this before, and people were hesitant or reluctant or embarrassed about what they were doing. But in fact, what they were doing took a lot of strength. And I want to make sure you understand that it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing, to say we need help, because a lot of people in this world won't say they need help. And by the time they ask for it or need it desperately, it's too late. You're doing it as a 16-year-old, not as a 42-year-old man saying, look, I have my difficulties, I have my challenges, we've had these things we've had to face, and I want it to be better. I want to switch back to your mom and be able to have her share some of her experience, because being a mom of 4 kids and raising a family and having to leave Utah to come to a new place, even though you had a relative in Haleyville, Alabama, it's not easy to travel across all those states and try to reset your roots.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, we had, we were divorced, and I had just sold the home. And, you know, something that we've discovered as we've gone through this journey is, you know, domestic violence is, it's very curious, because you have hope for your partner, because you love your partner. And there's this repetitive cycle of, I'm sorry. Please let me come back. It's going to get better. And so we were going to let him come back. You know, me and the 5 kids, we discussed it, and they don't fulfill the promises. And we had about a week, I would say, Elijah, don't you think, to pack up, and we're basically homeless. We have a travel trailer. So I had my 5 kids, our dog, our cat, and no place to go. My brother does have a home more towards Haleyville. He doesn't live there. He's military, but this is going to be his retirement home. So he told us, you can come here. I had never driven this travel trailer more than a couple miles. I loaded us all up, and we just took off across the country. And I know that there was a big burden that felt, we felt unweighted, is the only way I can describe it, as we pulled into Russellville. We got here late at night, and I think we all slept for half of the next day. And pretty soon thereafter, I started looking for a home. And when we found this home, it was perfect. It's, you know, a farmhouse, and had a lot of things that, you know, would meet our needs. And we were pretty excited about it. We had the money to put down on the home, and we even had a little extra to make some changes that we thought would improve the house. And sure enough, I changed my number. Elijah's number got changed, and then he did. He found us. And he said, just let me come out and you know, tell everybody bye. And, you know, I'm so sorry. And I talked about it with the kids, and we were like, well, we're not sure. But he showed up, and that's when the story really became a terrible nightmare. We thought we were better. It went from a bad story, truly, to a nightmare. And from 0 to 100, Elijah says, yes. And we weren't prepared. We didn't see it coming. Did people around us see it? Absolutely. My sister, who happens to live a few hours away, she saw it. And I think we were still kind of in denial, because we had hope for a family. The one thing that personally affected our family is that we were often reminded by this person that, hey, you have two Down syndrome children. Nobody is going to want you. Nobody is going to help you take care of those boys. You guys are a damaged family. You're victims, poor you. We heard that a lot from him, and so it was a shame. You know, we're not ashamed of our boys. We love Sam and Cy, but that was something that he would say to us. And in fact, I think the very day that Elijah says he had enough, this person changed the name on his phone number. So then when it would connect to our Bluetooth in a car to, forgive my words, mentally retarded. You know, and that's the way he played with us and just, you know, would taunt us about our lives. And when he got here, I'm going to back up to the beginning of when he got here in Russellville. He told us that the truss system under this house was damaged and that he needed to lift the house. And he is a contractor. We trusted that. And literally within a matter of days, we went from remodeling a kitchen and a bathroom and changing some flooring to no walls upstairs. Because as soon as he started lifting, walls move, change, crack, shift. And so we basically became disabled, you know, within the home overnight. And then the next thing he did is he took out the plumbing and he took out the staircase. And we became isolated at the very back of the house in this room and then this little room here. During winter, the heat was disconnected. And we had heat. We have heat in this room, but the main system, the vents were disconnected. So even if the heat was running, there was no vents. And so everything was pouring out under the house, and our electric bill was like $1,500. Shock, you know, and we don't have, you know, we're on a budget. So we had to keep things, you know, we wore jackets, we slept with extra blankets. Sometimes we'd wake up and we could see our breath. I remember one time it was 42 degrees in the home when we woke up. And he kept saying, well, I don't know HVAC. We have to get a subcontractor. And so that was the thing. We would have to try to get other people to come in because he no longer wanted to fix it. My sister had said to us, look, Esther, he is tearing your house down. He is not fixing it. He's steadily tearing things out. And, you know, we had no stairs. Then we had no closets. We've been here almost 2 years. We have two closets now for six people. We don't even have a closet to fold our towels and put in. I mean, you wouldn't think that those things matter, but it was this psychological game that I refused to accept. And once I saw what was happening, I was in too deep because I had no money left. And he told me specifically, there's no one here that knows how to fix this. I'm the only one that can do it. And that became my motto is, okay, I'm going to have to just let him do this and I'm going to have to work through it and I'm going to have to put up with this abuse because the abuse became so much more worse. If you look around, every door frame that we have a door is busted. I would pay people to come in and do things. My brother would volunteer and come and help on his days off and he would put drywall in. The drywall has holes in it, big holes to where you can't just patch it. You have to replace the drywall. This person that was fixing the house that was, you know, engaging in this abuse refused to get a job. Addictions became part of his daily life. And that really changed who he was to us. And we were made to feel bad if we asked him to help. And we have HVAC upstairs now and in the front of the house. But I paid someone to come in and fix the vents. And he climbed under the house and opened up some of the ducts. So much so that a cat climbed up into our home from under the house through a vent. So we still can't turn on the heat or air out there because it's open. You know, it just runs. The plumbing upstairs, there's no plumbing. The city came out. They did the plumbing from the street to the yard, you know, relocated it. I bought all of the supplies. Nope. One of the main things we needed to do when we moved in was get the hot water heater replaced. And I bought two brand new hot water heaters because he was going to do this whole different system. They're still sitting there a year and a half later. my little boy Silas, for the summers, he goes to stay with my sister because there's no railing for the stairs, and it's very unsafe. And for the big opening around the stairs at the top, there's no hand railing. So there's no stair railing and there's no hand railing. And it's very, very unsafe for him because I can't tell you how many times he's almost fallen off. And it's a good 10 feet, maybe. Now the money is totally gone and we have subfloors. We've used foam, the spray foam, just to fill in the gaps. I have some of the flooring to put down. I don't know how, but this is how we've been living. I can't describe emotionally what it's done to us to where, you know, we're too afraid to ask for help. My kids haven't had friends over. We were all, you know, if you look, there's doors covering my windows in the front of my house, but there's no doors in my bathroom. You could come into this house. You know, we could come in, but we couldn't leave. I had to get permission to go pick my kids up from school. I had to get permission to go to any of their activities. I can't tell you how many things I had to miss, parent-teacher conferences I had to do on the phone. And it didn't happen overnight, but it happened, and I didn't realize it. You know, I am a very strong woman. I couldn't run, 5Ks with my children. I couldn't go to the gym. Therefore, my kids couldn't go to the gym. We couldn't go see my family in Mississippi. He totally took over our lives. And so this threat of him constantly leaving, he would say, well, I'll leave. You're never going to get your house done.
Also, that anyone who would come over to possibly do anything, he'd scare them off. And then he'd go off on you for bringing someone else in here. And you not believing in him and his lies.
You know, so we found out for sure there were a couple people because we would have handymen that would come, would be scheduled to come. They had already given us bids. And then at the very last minute, they would actually not come and not respond. And we found out that he actually threatened one of them and said, you are not, do not go and help her at all. And so we've been trying to do it. My son and I have been doing insulation, and you know, we tried to work on the roof a little bit. We've tried to do flooring. We have no idea how to do plumbing, but just to fix doors, you know, the doors don't even lock, right? Like, how we've learned how to put cameras up outside to protect us and you know, from him. And we finally got brave enough to say, you know, we don't want to be victims. There's no shame in being a victim. He made us feel that way. Not only are we going to be survivors, but I think Elijah, by taking this over, has shown me that we're not just survivors. We're going to be warriors when this is over. We're going to get through this. We are, you know, he disconnected my bathtub. He disconnected the dishwasher. Anything that he could to make it harder for us to just function on a daily basis. The kids don't have beds, they're in army cots now. You know what, Sam and I have a bed, but privacy was an issue. You know, we've made it work, and you know, everything is, you know, the kids' needs are met, but you know, they don't have room to play. There's no place for toys here. You can see, I mean, this is a tiny space, and I don't know how to explain to you how he literally disabled everything. Lights, front, we didn't have a front door. We had boards over the front door for, you know, where the front door would be. And it, when you walk through, you're going to see the front door still, we just have insulation stuffed around it in foam. You know, and I bought all the supplies. And then he would say, well, we're not going to use that. Oh, that's not going to work. So I have these things that I can't even use now. Or, I mean, toilets, bathtubs, sinks. For a year and a half, a year and 8 months, he was never going to fix them. And that is really hard to accept because I have put so much on hold for my children to work every day. Every day to do something, if it's trying to put insulation into a wall or working with electrical or running, drilling holes in walls to pull electrical through, only to have him go back and redo it or to change it or to pull it out. hours upon hours of work that would then just be reversed in 5 minutes. And he didn't want it like that. Yeah, all of a sudden, like, we don't have stair treads on the stairs, right? And I ran out of money, and so I was trying to repurpose the old hardwood flooring that we pulled up, and we got a planer. He's like, if you buy a planer, we can just reuse it all. So I replanked the wood, hours and hours, and still, well, we can't use that. We're going to have to do something different for the stairs. So we've had these stairs with no surface, and I have the wood. I mean, I just can't tell you the emotional toll it's taken on us because, you know, I want to get up. I try to get the kids off to school. You know, nothing would get done. And I kept blaming myself. You know, the thing is with domestic violence, I don't think you, all of a sudden you're just in it. And this person, he was never violent towards the kids. At the end, he started just talking uglier to them. But the one thing he always held over us is that he was just going to kill himself or set the house on fire. We lived in that fear all the time. We still sleep. Sometimes we'll all put all the cots around my bed just in case, so we're all together. You know, we've gone to counseling. I've had personal counseling. We've had family counseling, and we're getting better, but I guess being able to talk about it is really healing. But where we are now is we have very limited funds. I have a lot of supplies. Personally, I put almost $100,000 down on the home, all the money I had. If I walk away from the home, obviously I lose that. It ruins my credit as well, but I have no more money to put down on a different home. I don't know how to get it fixed. I can tell you this, he pulled up the subflooring the very first winter we were here. Mold came up under. Literally coated the walls. We scrubbed, we bought chemicals, and the mold is all gone. Yes, we steamed everything. The mold is gone, it's been treated. But, you know, it's still under the home. But things like that, clothes were ruined. You know, the kids' clothes were ruined, my clothes were ruined. We've dealt with that. Like, we really have learned how to do without so much, but if we can just get the electrical done and the HVAC done, I have boards over all the vents, and he pulled out the vents on the outside of the house so that animals can crawl under the crawl space. It's very disarming to live in an environment where you don't feel safe, not because he's going to harm us, but because, you know, yeah, animals can climb in under the house, but yeah, maybe the house is going to burn down because the electrical's not done. I've had the building inspector come through. He's looked at everything, and things are okay right now, but, you know, there's a long way to go, and I will work from 5 in the morning till 3 at night if I have to. I've worked by lamp. I've worked by flashlight. I've worked by my phone light, you know, moving things. That's the other thing he would have us do. I have flooring, subflooring. He would have me move it from one room to the next, only to have us move it somewhere else, upstairs to downstairs, but never doing anything with it. Very manipulative in a way that it's like we're still where we were when he first came and tore the walls down.
Now, I'm sitting in this home right now, and he's not here. At what point were you able to disconnect from that situation?
I can tell you it was such a blessing because the police have been to our home a couple times. You know, one was threatening to commit suicide, but one of my children went outside crying because he had said something very mean to them. And my neighbor heard it, and she said to me, "Can I please call the police? Are you okay with that?" And I told her in that very moment, yes. Thank you for helping me make that final decision. Because he would tell us, well, no, your kids aren't going to have a father. You're not going to be a family. If you don't let me stay here, I'm just going to take everything from you guys, and nobody's going to want you. And that was really hard for us. It was so degrading. You know, he was spitting on our floor, spitting at me, yelling constantly at me in front of the children. And I just kept telling myself, I have to get through this. I have to get through this. We have to get this house done, no matter what. The kids and I all talked privately. We would check in every day. Are we okay? you know, are you guys doing all right? You know, they didn't see any violence other than, I mean, you know, the verbal. And that is very damaging. We've learned in therapy that can be so much more damaging than the physical. But it clicked finally. He was gone. Just like that, I have a permanent protection from abuse order. He can never come back. And I don't think that we are afraid anymore of him coming back. I think, you know, it doesn't bother us now. We just have to, like Elijah said, we have to stop living in the trauma that he put us in. We have to stop looking at these walls and, you know, that have no doors and say, it's okay. We can live again. We can get our lives back together. I believe that we can do that. I believe that we can conquer this situation and live very productive lives.
Right now, we're talking to Esther Roz as well as her son Elijah. Elijah had reached out to me about a fundraiser that he has organized for his family. You've heard this very difficult story, and I want you to stick with us as we talk about more of the positive side of things. Esther has closed it out very well as she talks about the newfound strength that they have, and I want you to feel that strength, and I want you to feel the hope that they have, and then find a way to make a difference for this family. We'll talk about that when we come back. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White, coming from Russellville, Alabama, as we've been talking to the Roz family, specifically Elijah. He's 16 years old, and his mom, Esther. And we've been talking about the challenges that they have faced, very, very difficult challenges with domestic violence, moving from Utah to find peace in Alabama, only to find that their peace was disrupted again. Their home has been destroyed, and they need your help. They came to this community for a new life, and I believe that they still can have that new life here in the state of Alabama, and we hope that people in the community, especially in Russellville, Alabama, will rally around this family and help them during this time.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
For those of us who are directly responsible for the care of loved ones, we want to do the very best we can to take care of them. This is where estate planning is so important. With estate planning, you can still take care of your loved ones even when you're gone. I encourage you to make a plan by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Harlan Mitchell has all the tools you need to make a solid plan for your family, just like I did. That's BamaEstatePlanning.com. Make a plan and do it today. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
The summer is heating up. Have your next backyard celebration with TNT Fireworks. For the best selection of our classic fan favorites and new items, you need to buy early. TNT Firework locations are opening soon. Also, enter to win our $10,000 sweepstakes on our website, TNTFireworks.com. Have safe family fun with TNT Fireworks.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
to the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away.
And right now I do have Esther Rod still with me, and I wanted to share the more positive side, the things that we can do. I know you said that some of the children are sleeping on army cots. We don't want that. I know that Sleep in Heavenly Peace would love to be able to make beds for your family. That's the first thing. And then we think about other organizations, even like Down Syndrome Alabama can step in and help your family in some ways. They need to hear this story. And I believe this is probably the first time that you've been able to share your story in this way.
Absolutely. You know, we were kind of prisoners in our own home, and we were always afraid that, you know, the children would be taken away, or, you know, we would be, you know, separated. And so we have kept things very quiet, trying to live a normal life, kind of as you know, prisoners in our home. But there are so many good things I know that are to come for us and for these kids. And so this right here, what a blessing. It was such a surprise for us. So
so what can we do? We talked about beds. We can get that taken care of, I believe. And then we talked about electrical. We talked about HVAC. We talked about plumbing issues. Your stairway has been removed from the house. Is it still gone? I haven't walked over there. Is it still gone, or is it back up?
We have a staircase, but there's no handrail to go down the stairs. And so it's very dangerous for my two little ones because there's nothing for them.
So we need railing.
Yes.
On the stairwell and other things that need to be done. Sheetrock, where your brother had come in and done sheetrock, and then it was destroyed. Yes. Then some foundational issues. We've got some mold. We have... Is your dishwasher working again? Is it reconnected?
No, it's not. Neither is the bathtub. So a lot of the electrical is kind of disconnected.
Your washing machine?
My washing machine works, yep, and the dryer. And
refrigerator works?
Refrigerator works. But I don't know if you see over there, I've had to tape. This is so shameful. I've had to put tape over the vent because he went under and pulled out... the underlayment that was in the crawl space, like the big plastic kind of. Mm-hmm. And so there's a terrible smell that comes up through when we cook to turn on, you know, the fan, because that plastic hasn't been, put down. It's like a moisture barrier. And I think that's what controls the mold.
Okay. And other things that you can think of that maybe people who say, well, I can't do a lot, but I can do something. It looks like maybe they could do something when it comes to the fundraiser that Elijah has organized and support the fundraiser and at least share it. If financially they can't help, then they can share it. And I think there are probably some organizations out there that I've dealt with in the past through my show that can probably help as well. So I'm going to try to reach out to them and let them know about Elijah's effort. And this is a 16-year-old young man who has stepped up to the plate in a big way to help your family. So you should be very proud of what Elijah's doing.
I am so proud. I told Elijah, you know, sometimes Elijah, there are not words to be able to describe how you feel, because the words almost take away the beauty of what you've done. And it was very humbling for me to read what Elijah wrote, because at the very end of his fundraiser, he mentioned, if you could just donate even a penny, to come from a 16-year-old young man, that was saying so much about, I guess there's a level of desperation, you know, that I didn't recognize with the children, that even a penny will do something. And I am so thankful for Elijah and for his bravery in this and for his courage to say no more, because he has really been a shining example.
And we have an estimate for repairs as well. And I think that on the GoFundMe, it says between $100,000 and $130,000. So you've had some people maybe look and say, this is what it would cost to fix the damage so far, Elijah?
Yes, sir.
If you will.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so right now, the GoFundMe is set for $120,000. So far, we have 21 donors as I'm speaking to you right now. The fundraiser is at $1,620. The GoFundMe... Repair Home for My Mom and Siblings, and it's organized by the Roz family. Elijah specifically started this fundraiser after asking his mom about doing this. They've been through a very difficult time, and they need your help. And I hope that this message is reaching you right now and touching your heart to have you to decide that you need to step up and help this family, that you're in a position to do that. And Elijah, what's the message you have for listeners right now who want to support you and your family?
My message would be, like I said in the GoFundMe, even a penny or even just sharing it is more than I can even ask for.
And then for those who are facing domestic violence as young people who are in a similar situation, what do you say to them?
You're not the only one. I know people say that and it feels like there really is no one else, but there really is. No one knew, before putting out the GoFundMe about the domestic abuse until I said something. So people do hide it. Maybe it's not, exactly. There are different ways or reasons why people hide it. And also, it's just hard to talk about, to say anything about it, because it is taboo, even though it happens to so many people, more than you would think. And I would also say that okay to feel and be embarrassed, and that it is okay for people to know about it, because I can recall so many times that I've thought of just having help and being saved, but it took me a while to realize that for that to happen, I have to say or do something. And that was really hard for me to see, because I just thought out of nowhere there would be help. And it did take me a lot to say something. And even though I knew it would make me feel better, and it did, it doesn't feel like I'm being someone else. It doesn't feel like I'm putting on a mask. It feels like I'm finally moving instead of just living in fear and trying to hide such a big part of my life that's been affecting me for so long and everything else.
Well, I tell you, Elijah, I appreciate the fact that you messaged me and you asked for help, and now it's an opportunity for others to join in and help make a difference for your family. The story has been shared now, and people understand what your family is going through to a certain level, hopefully enough to decide that they want to help this GoFundMe, which is GoFundMe.com, and search Repair Home for My Mom and Siblings. I appreciate you and your mom for being on the show today and having the courage to share your story. And I hope that people will support your family. So thank you, Elijah, for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Esther, for allowing Elijah to start the fundraiser and to be willing to share your very personal story and allowing people to help your family.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity, and thank you for letting this topic become something that's not so hidden. I hope that if anything else, that if anybody else is in a situation like this, that they leave sooner and they get safe sooner, because there is a light at the end and you can be free. And life is about having those around you be happy and love one another. You shouldn't have to live in fear every day of your life.
Here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers like Elijah Roz, who stepped up for his family, and Esther Roz and the rest of the family, Silas and Lydia and Sam and Isaiah. And if this show is making a difference in your life, if it's an encouragement to you, I want you to share it with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference across the country and the world. I want you to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to the Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can now listen to the Mark White Show on Sunday mornings on 98.1 The Beat through Rocket City Broadcasting at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also stream that show at 981thebeat.com. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show from Russellville, Alabama. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
I'm Chandler Mordecai.
I'm Harper Howard.
And you're listening to The Mark White Show. Let's find a way to make a difference today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Looking for direction in this volatile market? Contact Brad Wallace, your Edward Jones financial advisor, on Hughes Road in Madison, Alabama. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Sand gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my home.